like react in real time.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. All right. If anyone out there is listening right now who loves their lawn, who spends thousands of dollars taking care of it, takes great pride in it, judges their neighbors who do not take care of their lawn, I want you to call us and explain it to me. 844-967-2789. If you are a Lawn Wars guy, or girl, I guess, I would love to hear from you because I don't get it. I don't get it. And I feel like I am now, I bring this up because I am now a homeowner.
Congratulations.
At the ripe age of 36, I've finally bought my first home.
Congratulations.
And we don't have much of a lawn. But what my mom realized when she came down to help us pack last week was that there's no spigot outside to attach a hose to.
Okay.
So it seems like even if we wanted to keep said lawn, there's not really a way to water it. So she's big on now doing what is a growing movement of having like a drought-friendly landscaping.
Yes.
Instead of a lawn.
Which is a great idea.
Which I think will probably, I mean, it's like kind of further down the list.
Sure.
Like first we have to actually move in to the house.
Right.
And so that might be a next year, because by the time we moved in, like, summer's basically over and the snow is coming and
yeah.
Winter is coming and all that stuff. But it made me start thinking, like, oh, like, it's finally for the first time not an apartment. I have things to take care of. But we had, past tense, a colleague, maybe multiple colleagues.
We have several. Yeah.
Who take their lawn very seriously.
Oh, my. To, you know, championship green kind of level. And very particular mowing on the angle, you know, which is very specific to some lawn people, because it looks fancier, I guess. My husband and I do have a house and we do have a lawn, but overall lawns are stupid. and here's why. For one thing, I think it was from a French prince. It was like Louis XIV or something. And Versailles, who was the first one who started this whole, look at my fabulous green lawn. And everyone wanted to become like upper crust and have a lawn. And so it's not a naturally occurring phenomenon.
Well, no, it's the most grown crop in the U.S.
That no one can eat.
That no one can eat. That it's largely just there for aesthetics, despite the fact that it's very hard to grow. And so it is, I've looked some of this up. I was like, all right, how did this become a thing? Because it's now, like, it's kind of a class thing. It's kind of, like, it's kind of a hobby, but it's also wrapped up in a better than thou type thing. And so basically until the mid-19th century, most houses in America were built close to the street, and then they'd have some kind of garden in the back.
Okay.
But if you think about the brownstones in New York, or if you go to Boston, or a lot of like the cities originally did not have these massive lawns. And so the transition to how prevalent every house that was starting to be built was three different things specifically for the American suburbs. First, there was a public park movement. And so a lot of these houses, because there was this movement, it influenced a lot of the first suburban communities
to have more green space. Okay.
Two, which I think is super interesting, is that the adoption of automobiles and train travel, there was pressure on homeowners who would be on the roads or on by the railroad tracks to have their lawn be attractive for people to see it. As the passerbys, to appreciate the lawns as you were on the train looking out the window or in your car.
It's my responsibility to have a nice view for people who commute.
Supposedly. So that was number two. And then the second one was after World War II, when the government started financing all these low-cost mortgages in these areas where there was more blue-collar housing going up. It was to emulate, like you said, upper middle class.
The fancy people.
And so it was like you had your house and you had your lawn, and it was that was desirable because rich people have lawns. And so it was those kind of like combination of those three things that we have now. Most, besides you get out of urban centers, most houses, even in Milwaukee, I mean, there's some front lawns.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny to me, and we have no callers so far, so you still have a couple minutes if you want to give us your opinion and defend why having these lawns and putting so much money and care and time and ego into it is totally worth it. We're here. We're here to hear your argument.
And we'll be really nice to you. We will. We'll be very nice to you because I think it's a fascinating... I want to know what you get out of it. What does this do for you to know that you're the one on the block that has the nicest lawn? Is there a plaque involved? Is there a reward? Is there some neighborhood recognition, that some secret lawn club that we don't know about, Kristen, because we're not that into our lawns?
Well, there is. I mean, different homeowner associations, like you have to take care of your lawn or you get like a fine. So there is actual like stick.
Sure.
Stick disincentives in certain areas. I don't think that they have that in the neighborhood I'm moving into.
If you don't lawn properly.
But like, think about No Mow May, right?
Right.
So No Mow May, again, some of our colleagues very, very bothered by this idea of No Mow May, which was in May, I think multiple communities. I think Madison, Milwaukee.
There were certainly some neighborhoods in Milwaukee,
Oak Creek,
absolutely.
Madison didn't do it specifically, but Sun Prairie did, and I was the last one on my block to mow my lawn. I waited until the end of May, and every other house like literally gave up beforehand, and they had like little yard signs that you could go and pick up from the Parks and Rec Department, and you could put it in, and it said, "Don't mind my weeds, I'm feeding the bees." And I loved it. So I was like, yes, I'm all in. I bought in. And there was a ton of these other signs, but all those other signs were quitters. And they started mowing on like May 15th or May 20th. And I didn't mow until June.
So did you do it for the bees or did you do it because you're lazy?
Both. Like you, Kristen, I am still in the process of moving in and doing all of the things at my new house. And therefore, if I could put it at the bottom of the priority list, of course mowing the lawn is going to go to the bottom of the priority list. And then the city gave me a nice sign to excuse my...
what you're some would say. Because you're
helping the bees! Yeah, they gave
Get
me
off
the...
off my back!
Exactly. And so I had the out. The city gave me cover. I put the lawn sign out there. It's in my yard. It will be out there next May as well. And you can guarantee that until I get my drought-friendly front yard and with a bunch of native plants to also feed the bees... I'm going to not be mowing any time in the month of May.
Maintaining a lawn takes so much water. It requires so much water.
And pesticides.
And pesticides. And if we weren't using the pesticides to keep our lawns so green and weed-free, we wouldn't have to worry about feeding the bees. Because this is part of the whole ecosystem problem. And I want to know, again, I really want to talk to a lawn guy. Do you lay in the middle of your lawn? Do you play in the middle of your lawn? If you have kids and that you know they're going to be outside playing with balls and stuff like that, I can understand that. But for an adult person, what are you doing on your lawn that justifies all of this expense and money? Or maybe I don't want to know what you're doing on
again,
your lawn. It could go either way.
Again, I'm one more time, 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from you. I mean, and it's interesting because I wonder if my mother's listening at this right now, because she takes very good care of the yard as a whole, right? It is landscaped,
pristine.
And it is, and she gets so much joy out of working in the yard. And it is a combination of the flowers that go together and the shrubs and the time of year. But I will say, because the house we moved into that I grew up in Madison, it was kind of on a hill. And so the front, there was a fair amount of yard when we first moved in the front. But in the back, you had to like take it up stairs.
Sure.
And then there was another patchy grass part on the upstart, upper level of the backyard. And so progressively from when we moved in, when I was a baby, to when we moved out when I was 16, every year there was a project to have less and less lawn, which just made my dad so happy.
I bet.
He would brag about how little lawn he actually had to mow because there was enough other landscaping that had been created to get rid of the grass and just have it still look beautiful, which is largely what this new movement is of a drought-friendly lawn where you can plant succulents and all these different plants that look great but don't require the attention and water and pesticides to be this like single specimen of grass with no weeds. It's like evenly cut to the edges and takes so much attention. And I just, do you think it will catch on in Wisconsin? Or do you think that's a little too hippy-dippy liberal for people to be like, no, I want my lawn.
I think there's certainly that faction. But I think for younger generations and for, like, you're 36 and for people who are younger, I don't see the same affection for that. You have other things to do.
Oh yeah,
that have more priority. You have bigger priorities.
Like even what we'll do to our tiny lawn will probably be done by my mother. If I had to bet, that's Debbie Bryant's coming down.
Where your passion is. That's not where, you know. Eventually, all these pro lawn people are going to die. So it might be an age thing. And I do think it is kind of a cultural.
Do you think it's a holdover? So if we're thinking like post-World, so it's a boomer thing.
Yeah,
I do. In the boomers who, I'm not trying to say that derogatory. You are a boomer.
I'm a boomer.
And so if we line that up with the timeline of post-World War II with all of the homes and the low mortgages and like home ownership rates and the GI Bill.
Yep.
And that so many people were raised in a house with a lawn. And then as they got older, they desired that.
Yes.
And so now are we in the generation of millennials and Gen Z that's like, I don't care about that.
You're apartment dwellers and condo dwellers and more about downsizing, I think. You're not so much about stuff. At least some of your generation is not so materialistic.
We're not. We have a lot of boxes to move.
Well, stuff accumulates no matter what you do.
But yeah, I don't know. The lawn thing is interesting to me, and it is certainly in the bucket of a category of I want to get it because I try to be open-minded and not judgmental on, you know, don't yuck someone else's yum.
That's fair.
Right?
The one pro-lawn thing I will say is driving a riding lawnmower is really fun.
I've never done that.
I actually had a really, really little one when I had my first house in New Berlin, and there was a small engine shop down the road for me, and I had them detail it and put flames on my little riding lawnmower, and it said Danger Lady on the back. I got more jollies out of that than it was ridiculous.
Do you have a picture of this somewhere?
I don't. Isn't that sad?
That is a travesty.
I know.
Jane, can I refer to you as Danger Lady now?
Like, absolutely.
Okay, that is awesome.
Jane's your nickname. Danger Lady Jane.
Danger Lady Jane.
She's here
I love
with us
it.
Today with her. Can we get some magnets to put on the side of your car now that are flames? You just drive around. I'll get you a bumper.
On my Subaru.
That's your birthday present.
That would fit in so well.
On your Subaru.
On
my Subi. We're going to get you magnet flames and then Danger Lady Jane to
on the
put
back.
On the back.
I love it.
And you're just going to drive
all
throughout
over.
Southeastern Wisconsin. And
there's my,
like, who's that lady?
There's my new Twitter handle.
I've never ridden
I'm pro riding lawnmower, but maybe just drive it around a track or something.
Could you just get an ATV?
Well, yeah, sure. We could do that too.
All right. Well, I'm disappointed that no one called us to defend their position on being
like a lawn Jane
owner.
Said, the pro lawn crowd. Maybe they're dying off. Who knows?
At least they're not listening here.
Not today.
Not yet.
The only pro I have for my lawn is my dog loves it. So there will always be a stretch for him to be able to run and play.
That's critical. Absolutely.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, I'm not convinced. I'm ready for my mom to come totally re-landscape my lawn for me. If you're here listening to that, mom, can't wait.
Come on down.
All right. Well, we're almost to the end of the show. And so when we come back, we're going to talk just kind of about radio, since we have a radio legend here.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, when we come back, we'll talk about how it's changed, where it's going, why Jane has decided to work in it for 40 years. And then we'll wrap up the show. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Get off my lawn. it is.
Like the big